There you go.
Okay. You don't. I don't usually need a mic. I mean, I'm wired. I'm wired for 110, not 220. So I mean, but no, he did ask me what I was going to speak on, and this had been on my mind. And because of time, I got about 18 minutes to bring a two-hour sermon. So bear with me. Now I do ask you to look with me at verse 13. I would read the other verses, but this will be basically our text. In verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 10, he said, "There hath no temptation taken you, but is such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." I probably have two messages in one, but I ask you to bear with me, and I trust my thought will be a help and a blessing to us. And I say this is for me, as well as I trust it will be for you. When we think of temptations, temptations come in many ways. Let me define about temptation. We see enticement to sin. Now, that's probably the main thought that most people will think about when we think about a temptation. And of course, we sin in many ways. But temptation, it's implied as adversity, affliction, trials, or your storm of life. And we don't usually consider those things as temptations. But those things that come in our life, they entice us to sin by doubts, murmuring and complaining because of our lot in life. Have we not heard? Maybe we've said, "Why me? It's not fair." God may see fit to try us, try our faith. Now, I'm not going into that because you can see what James said in chapter 1. God don't tempt us with evil and so forth. We know Satan tempts us with evil thoughts. He fills us with doubts and fears. Men bring reproaches and persecutions. Trials may come from chastisement from the Lord. He promised that to those He loved. It may come from places that we go. It may be from the company we keep, or maybe just the rat race of life. These things make us to doubt. And when we begin to doubt in our temptations, it takes us away from prayer. It'll take us away from the Word of God. And basically, it will take us away from the house of God. Let's note doubts in temptations. I want to use quickly three different biblical doubts, if you will. Go back to the book of Matthew with me, and I ask you if you wish to turn with me. I'll try to be as rapid as I can. But in chapter 8, book of Matthew, now we know these stories. I mean, that's what we call them. These events that happen. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 23. We said that when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. His disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." And he said unto them, "Why are ye fearful, and ye of little faith?" Then he arose, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him?" So, well, what's that problem? Well, we would say in ourselves, we'd look back and say, now, these disciples were with the Lord. They knew all about Him. and so forth. But I want you to know that when there arose a great tempest, that's when they began to doubt. We would say, well, why didn't those individuals, why did they doubt? He was right there. Well, as I'll remind us several times, don't we? When temptations come, when things begin to get boisterous, that's when we begin to doubt. And here these men begin to doubt. Now, if you'll just go over to chapter 14, I'm not taking the time to try to expound these. You know them, but you can do it in your own time. In chapter 14, beginning at verse 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitude away. And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up to the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, we always give Peter, a hard time because that he was walking on the water. But I want you to note, it was when the winds began to be boisterous, that's when he began to fear. And then he began to doubt, and that's when he began to sink. Now, we give him a hard time, but brethren, Peter walked on the water. It's none of us. I don't know that any of us would have that kind of faith that we could say we walked on the water. But I want you to know, it was in his faith and so forth. But when the winds and the waves became boisterous, that's when he began to doubt, and then he began to sink. One other I'll give you. In John chapter 20, we know this real well, but in John chapter 20, and verse 24, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then he saith he to Thomas, Reach thither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they have not seen, and yet have believed." Now again, we look at this event, and we call Doubting Thomas. Thomas, he was not with the disciples or the apostles at the time when Jesus appeared to them. But that's a little thing that we can look at, because many times we miss a blessing when we're not congregated in the house of God. But we won't go there. But Thomas doubted. And we'll say, well, the individual, why in the world would he doubt? But Jesus said, be not faithless, but believing. Let's put ourselves in their shoes. I told the church, I believe it was last Lord's Day or wherever, our homecoming, whatever. But I try to, when I read these things, I try to put myself where it's Apostle Paul, where it's these individuals we've looked at. I try to put myself in their position. Now, brethren, we can criticize in our, when we look at those and we read about them, and we'll say, well, you know, why didn't they? But why don't we? We judge others. But how is it with us? There was a woman said to me one time, said, you preachers preach Romans 8:28 until it comes to your house. Now you think about it for a few moments. You all know what Romans 8:28 says. Why do we look at others and say, well, why don't they? Well, we find here, I'll not read the first 11 verses. Paul uses the Israelites as an example. When we know that they had temptations, they tempted the Lord, and what did it lead to? It led to sin. Now, rather, we can say whatever we want, but doubt is sin. When we doubt the things that God has said, or who He is, or what He said He would do, and that we'll get to in just a moment, and we'll say, well, I wouldn't do what Peter or Thomas or whatever. But you look at verse 12 here in 1 Corinthians 10. Paul gives us, I believe, a warning. When he said, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And we need to be careful when we talk about, well, we see other brethren, we have problems. And they will say, well, why don't they just put their faith in the Lord? Why don't they just, and I'm talking about saved people. And they say, well, why don't they? But then when it comes to me, why don't I? In this 13th verse, that it's meant much to me over time, and I won't bring out everything that's in it. But I want you to think about the promise of what God said. Do we doubt what the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that what Paul says? He said in verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Someone is where you are now, or someone has been there before. It may be financial, it may be sickness, it may be problems of life, maybe family, maybe the church. If you don't believe these things, you just read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, as I think of these things, I think, and I don't like to use myself as an example, but several of you have went through more than I have. But in January 2011, the doctor called me. And he said, your test came back positive. And so come in and we'll discuss the options that we have. Now, brethren, the thing that came to my mind was I'm not the first person that ever had cancer. And I won't be the last person that ever had cancer. And so when we think about things that come upon us, no matter what they mean, someone else has been there. This is what they, it's such as common to man. It's human. It's with us no matter what. It doesn't matter what the temptation is. And we again think of the, as in the first part of this chapter, that's really what we talk about. You know, the temptations and the sin that Israel had. But what about us? We find here that he said that there is no temptation that is taken us, but such is common to man. Now, the temptation, let me define again, when we say it's implied adversities, afflictions, trials, or storms of life. It wasn't maybe what the children of Israel had, but rather there's things that come in our life. Do we believe what this scripture tells us? That there is no temptation, there's no adversity, there's no trial. There's nothing that has come upon us, but it's common to man. It's common to us. I'll give us a little simple And I, everything I say is simple, so you don't have, you know. But go back to Matthew quickly with me in chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 25, beginning at verse 25. Jesus Christ says Himself, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your bodies, and what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Now let me say now, I'm not saying that we just do everything away and we don't work or I'm not saying that. But where's when times get hard, I'll give you another illustration and if I can, and I again don't like to use myself. But you ever have financial problems? I mean, when things got right down to the nitty gritty, my wife, she accuses me of never throwing anything away. And I got, I guess, a lot of junk, and they call it treasures, but anyhow. She got out a box, and she had every one of when you write your checks, you know, you have the record, you put on there what the check number is and who it was to and whatever. And she had every one of them since the time we were married in 1960. And she got to digging through those things, you know. And it wasn't comical at the time, but it became comical now. Of course, the Lord's really blessed us. We had $15.88 in the bank. And we wrote a $15 check to the church. That left a balance of 88 cents. Well, what's that got to do with it? You didn't know what the next would be or what the next expense was and so forth. I'm saying that is because, again, I repeat, we're not looking at something that enticed to some great sin. We're looking to the doubt. The thing that God has said unto us, there's no temptation taking you but which is common to man. And Jesus said, when we get here in these verses, when he said, in verse 26, he talks about the fowl of the air. And I'm going to quickly go through this. And verse 27, in which of you taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Or, and why you take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and how they toil not, neither they spend. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed and all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall you not much, shall you be not much more clothed, you, O ye of little faith? Now, when we talk about the little faith or the thoughts, as he says in verse 31, therefore take no thought. What he's saying is anxious thoughts. In other words, worry thoughts. Don't worry over these things. Now, I know I've been there. That's the reason I gave you that little thing and I shouldn't have. But when things get a certain way, what do we start doing? We start fretting. We start doubting. But did not God say He's going to take care of us? We may not have what we want. We might not have all of He'll supply our necessities. Did He not promise that? Or do sometimes we begin to doubt that He would say those things? That's what He said. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or wherefore whether shall you be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles think, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. The Lord knew that we have need of food, raiment, housing, so forth. And when we don't get what we want, then what do? We begin to doubt. Say, oh, I don't do that. Well, what did Paul tell you? Philippians in chapter 4, and I would quote it, but I'll misquote it. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, didn't he not say that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I believe He supplies our spiritual needs, but I believe He supplies our physical needs, and He also our material needs. But when times get hard, oh, you ever hear? I just don't know what I'm going to do. You ever hear that? Maybe I've said it myself. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. We think about the things, the temptations and what God has said in 13:5. We talk about now He's going to supply all of our needs. Do we believe that? Well, in 13:5 He said, let your conversation and your manner of life be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. Now that's not my message. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now brethren, if He is with us all the time, He's with us whether we're in trials or whether we be, He's with us. But now we say, just don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know. I won't allude to it, but I've heard, I never faced it, but I heard brethren speak of older brethren. That was, I heard a preacher just the other week. Some of you may have heard him. And I know one of the brethren used to talk about his pastor and so forth. They got down, there wasn't nothing in the house to eat. And one preacher said, he was on the road and he noticed something come across the road. He stopped and got out and there was a $20 bill there. And then the other brethren said that the man got up that morning and he told his wife, he said, I'm going to the store. She said, we don't have a penny. He said, I'm going to the store. He walked out. The mail carrier stopped, handing an envelope, and then it with some money that somebody owed him. Now, I don't say that happens to every one of us. But I don't believe I'd have said I'm going to the store if I didn't have a penny in my pocket. Now, think about it. No wonder the Lord Jesus Christ looked at those men and said, oh, ye of little faith. And I'm sure that He's looked at me many times and said, oh, ye of little faith, why are you doubting? I said I'd take care of you. Our Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. But back to our text verse. These things are common to man, but God is faithful. In Deuteronomy, I'll not turn there because, well, let's do it. Deuteronomy chapter 7. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, here's what was said about the God of Israel. Look in verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, who keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. We got a faithful God. What He has promised us, brethren, although I may be a little faith and I may have doubts, what He's promised us, He will bring to pass. If God has promised us something, and in His Word, when we go to His Word and we read one of His promises, you can just mark it down, it's going to be just like He said it was. Now, I know when it comes, it's a little more difficult. I'll not turn to it. In Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14, Joshua said, there's not been one thing of all He has promised that He has not brought it to pass. I'm paraphrasing. Not one thing. But if you turn over to 1 Kings 8 and 56, Solomon said that there is not one word of all He has promised. One word of all He had promised to Israel that He had not brought it to pass. Now think, that's our faithful God. He had promised Israel things, and He had promised in Solomon and so forth, but not one thing or one word. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, and look, if you will, at verse 22 and 23. Let us draw nearer with a true heart, full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us not doubt the faithfulness of our Heavenly Father. So, I don't do that. Let's look at our back at our text first. There's no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God is faithful. Now, what we would say, what's the promise? Who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able? His promise is He won't allow but what we are able. That word able means sufficient strength, bodily or mentally. His promise is, I'll not put more upon you than you're able to bear. I'll not put it on you. Ever heard? I just can't take any more. I just can't stand this any longer. Yes, you can. Because He promised that He'll not put more on us than we're able to bear. It might be in bodily afflictions. It might be financial. It might be many different things, as we said, where the afflictions of adversities or whatever it may be. But do we really believe that He said, I'll not put more upon you than you're able to bear? I'll not do it. I know how much you're able to bear, and I'll not put any more on you. Do we believe that promise, or do we start doubting? Are we doubting what God has said? The promise, you remember, if we're going to say He won't allow more than we're able to bear, He promised not to leave us, did He not? Or forsake us? To the church, didn't He say, I'll be with you all the way? Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Do we doubt His promise? Do we say, I just can't take any more? Yes, we can. And then He said in our text verse, but we'll with the temptation make a way to escape. Yes, if God sees fit, He might remove it. And many times He has in our lives as Christians. He may work it out in a way that we didn't expect. He might even go ahead and take us on home to glory, but His promise is He's going to make a way to escape it. Do we doubt it? I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know. I'd say it to myself. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what tomorrow's going to be. But I have His promise. He's a faithful God. He promised He'd not put on me more than I was able to bear, but with that temptation, He'd make a way to escape. But He also said that you may be able to bear it. I believe that God promised He'll give us grace to bear whatever it might be, and that grace will be what we never knew we even had. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you remember the Apostle Paul? I want you to note. Apostle Paul said in verse 7, he said, "Unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," 3 times, "that it might depart from me." Now that's our prayers, isn't it? And I'm not criticizing the prayers because, brethren, I believe we ought to ask. If it's according to His will, we have promised that He will give it to us, according to His will. Apostle Paul asked the Lord 3 times. You all know the story. He asked Him 3 times to take it away. You know, the Lord may not see fit to do it. Remember, He said He'd give us, we'd be able to bear it. All right, look at the next verse. "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness." Now that was the words of the Lord. My grace is sufficient for thee. Do we believe it? You say, "Oh, it's Apostle Paul." "For My strength," that's the Lord's strength, "is made perfect, complete in weakness." And then the Apostle Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I want to close by saying our temptations or our tribulations, they're going to come. Did Jesus say that? "Oh, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." They're going to come. My encouragement to all of us, to myself and all, when it comes, I ask you to remember this verse. There's no temptation taken you, but which is common to man. God is faithful. He will not suffer you be tempted above that which you are able. With a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. May we not doubt, but believe. For He is faithful. My encouragement to all of us as God's children, like Paul gave to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, he said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You, and these few things that I bring before you may not mean much, but they have me. Because there has been things in our life and things that there's problems, there's tribulations, there's troubles, there's trials. But my God's faithful. He'll not allow me. But that having that temptation above that which I'm able to bear it. He may take it away, but also He promised I'd be able to bear it. Do you ever doubt? I have to confess. I doubt. May God help us that we put our trust in what He has promised. Brother John.